Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. This week's program is more about the false religion of wokeism, and this will be the third program in this series. And I'm addressing this issue again because this is where the battle is raging. This is where the battle lines are being drawn between Christianity and wokeism, which is also called critical race theory or social Marxism. Martin Luther said back in the 1500s, "If I profess with the loudest voice and clearest exposition every portion of the truth of God, except that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking, I am not confessing Christ. However boldly I may be professing Christ, where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved, and to be steady on all battlefields besides is mere flight and disgrace if he flinches at that point." In other words, if I expound on the existence of God or the Trinity, but avoid the biblical moral message condemning LGBTQ or CRT, I'm really not being faithful to the Word of God, because the attack on Christ is happening in those venues. If we don't battle those current issues, it's like showing up to fight the enemy on the shores of Argentina when this is D-Day and the battle is on Omaha Beach. So this is why I'm spending so much time in my programming addressing wokeism. And as I mentioned last week, the news media and the public is waking up to this battle. There are news articles about this conflict every day. There's a culture war being waged between these two religions, the religion of Christianity versus the religion of wokeism. You know, just like in ancient Israel, there was the battle between Jehovah worship and Baal worship. And one thing that the Christian community can be thankful for is that the public is becoming aware of the differences and the lines are being drawn. The conservative journalist Mark Tapscott at hillfaith.org had a great article explaining the cultural influences of wokeism, CRT. Quote, "There are two kinds of people who work on congressional staffs these days. Those who are trying to come to terms one way or the other with critical race theory, CRT, and those who soon will be. And it doesn't matter if you're a scheduler, chief of staff, or any other position on a typical staff. Whether you think CRT is the gospel truth or a false god from the pit of hell, you are or will have to make up your mind about where you stand on this ideology. The media is saturated with news stories that assume CRT is the last word about reality. There are policy advocates who want CRT to shape law and regulation. The academic, religious, and popular culture are dominated by CRT-shaped assumptions. And more than a few well-known evangelical leaders preach CRT as if it, not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the New Testament, is the gospel." Unquote, Mark Tapscott. So, as Christians, this is what we're called to deal with today. This is the 21st century version of the showdown between the prophets of Baal and Elijah on Mount Carmel, or this is the showdown on the Areopagus between Paul and the philosophers of Athens. You know, as Christians, we must fight the good fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, Paul told Timothy to fight the good fight, keep faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected and suffered shipwreck in regard to their faith. And Paul told Titus in Titus chapter 1, hold fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict, for there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole households. Well, wokeism needs to be taken down with gospel truth. Oh, here's a quote from a movie line that might apply. The commander was inspiring his troops. Quote, I know that we're outnumbered and outgunned, but that doesn't mean we can't make a difference. It's up to us to let people know that there's a fight on, a fight that we need for them to join. Most of those soldiers, the enemy, don't want to be here. We have to make it too hard, too difficult, and too bloody for them to stay. Unquote, Chris Hemsworth, Red Dawn, which is kind of a juvenile movie. I'm not really recommending it. So how about something a little better here? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Of course, unless we're agents of the state, we don't use guns and bullets. But we still battle just as hard with something more powerful. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing that raises up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. We tend to interpret this text as bringing every personal thought into obedience to Christ, and that's true. But in its context, Paul is speaking about fighting false teachers and ideologies that are attacking the truth of Christ in the world. Those are the speculations and the high-minded things that are raising themselves up against Christ. Those are the thoughts and the reasonings that need to be taken captive by Christ. One more thought. You know, as I mentioned last week, a false teaching in a nation is like a disease, an infection, a cancer. If the body is healthy, it will fight off the disease until the next disease comes along. If the body is not healthy, the infection will be fatal. The great disease in America is moral sin and rebellion. There's been a lot of talk about COVID, vaccines, masks. But if you follow this program, you've probably noticed I haven't said a whole lot about these things over the last year. You know, last year I started off this pandemic with a 8 or 9 part series addressing COVID, but really not about the virus itself, but about the moral situation, people's fears, government paternalism, statism, you know, because my concern has not been physical diseases in America. You know, I'm going to leave that to others. My concern has always been America's ideological moral disease, that which sends people to hell. You know, as Jesus said, do not fear him who kills the body, but is unable to kill a soul. Rather fear him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You know, our moral disease is far greater than any COVID-19 virus. But, you know, parents will take their children to the doctor, quarantine their children over physical disease. But they'll think nothing of placing their children in public schools to be infected with false doctrine. You know, we have a priority problem. We'll put masks on our children, even take them out of school to protect them from a virus that actually really has no serious effect on young people. But we'll send our children to public school with their ears and their minds open to be infected with the doctrines of demons. But this has always been a problem in fallen humanity. People being more concerned about their flesh than their relationship with God. John chapter 6, even Jesus said, do not work for food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life. Now, in regard to wokeism, this week I want to address just one aspect of the false teaching of wokeism. Just like the New Testament took on the Judaizers, the Gnostics, the Nicolaitans, Today, the one false teaching I want to address is blaming others for your sin. Blaming another race, blaming the environment, even blaming God, but certainly not yourself. As we read in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that is the essence of wokeism. That we have no sin, it is all the sin of others. Vody Baucham, a great conservative African-American evangelist, missionary, he's been banging the drum for quite some time against CRT, you know, working to inform the Christian community. In a video I just watched, he covers four main principles of CRT right from the advocates. First, that CRT teaches racism is everything. Second, that whites are incurably racist because they will only do that which benefits them. Third, that whites operate on a racist source of truth, science and reason, rather than the alleged black way of coming to truth by feelings and experience. And fourth, since minorities come to truth only on the right basis, only minorities can speak to this issue of racism. So what we're seeing here is a false harmatology and anthropology, doctrine of sin, doctrine of man, a false source of authority, man's feelings and intuitions rather than the word of God, and a false soteriology, false doctrines of salvation. CRT presents the wrong problem and the wrong cure. Well, you can check out Vody Baucham's video on YouTube, but what I want us to say is that behind all of these CRT positions, these positions are not the thing itself. They are the peripheral errors, not the root, the core error. What's at the root is blaming others for your own sin and failure. That it's the fault of others if there's any disparity between me and others. That it's the fault of others that I'm in distress. That it's the fault of others that I'm on drugs or that I steal or that I go with the gangs. It's all because of the racism of others. And this is the immediate excuse the unsaved mind will always go to in order to explain away and justify sin. Genesis chapter 3, verse 12. The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Or Genesis 4:4. The Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, and so Cain imagined that it's all Abel's fault, not his own, and so Cain killed Abel. And in Genesis 37, Joseph's brothers were jealous of Joseph. They saw Joseph as the problem, not themselves. And so they persecuted Joseph. The blame game is the oldest lie of the devil. And those who play that game are thoroughly deceived. They actually think they're doing justice. That in their self-righteousness, they think that they're the righteous ones. Because blaming others seems so right according to their feelings of sinful pride. A pride and a self-righteousness they don't even see, even as the Pharisees in Jesus' day didn't see their own self-righteousness. They were the blind leaders of the blind. Proponents of CRT call it an analytical tool, a way of seeing the world, a way of interpreting events. But in reality, it's a way of seeing the world to justify your sin and cover your guilt. The sinful flesh grabs onto excuses, like a thirsty man grabs a jug of water, or like a naked man or woman grabs for a towel. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. They will not endure sound doctrine about themselves, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they heap to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires and turn away their ears from the truth and turn aside to myths. CRT, like all false doctrine, is a defense mechanism. It clouds every judgment. Becoming woke, waking up, really means seeing this new excuse for your sin and loving it and thinking, well, this is what I've been missing all of my life. This makes me feel good. This affirms me. Now, I could give many examples here. There are plenty of obvious CRT views in the news, but let me share a subtle one and see if you catch it. In the quote I just gave you by Mark Tapscott, he said, "The popular culture and government is dominated by CRT assumptions. CRT, or wokeism, has subtly worked its way into the worldview of our civic leaders, and it's causing them to enact foolish policy." Anthony Fauci, the COVID-19 czar, said in a speech to the woke students at Emory University the following about COVID. And his speech lined right up with the woke doctrine that the faculty and the students were wanting to hear. So let's look at this clip and then we'll just break it down.
COVID-19 has shown a bright light on our own society's failings. Our country's experience with COVID-19 has not only upended our own lives, but it has uncovered a stark reality and failing of our own society. The unacceptable disparities in health experienced by minority groups, especially African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans. Many members of minority groups have a much greater risk of COVID-19, often because of the nature of the jobs that many of them have as essential workers in society. More importantly, when people of color get infected with SARS-CoV-2, they more likely will develop a severe consequence of the infection. And this is because minorities in general have a greater incidence and prevalence of underlying comorbid medical conditions, including hypertension, chronic lung disease, diabetes, and obesity, that lead to a multifold increase in hospitalizations and deaths from COVID-19 compared with the general population. Now, very few of these comorbidities have racial determinants, almost relate to the social determinants of health, dating back to disadvantageous conditions that some people of color find themselves in from birth regarding the availability of an adequate diet, access to health care, and the undeniable effects of racism in our society. Let us promise ourselves that our corporate memory of this tragic reality, that an infectious disease disparately hospitalizes and kills people of color, does not fade after we return to some form of normality. Righting this wrong will take a decades-long commitment.
So do you hear what Fauci is saying? COVID shows that there is racism in America. And for the woke, racism is behind every social problem. The unacceptable disparities in health experienced by minority groups, especially African Americans, Hispanics, and Native Americans, is because of racism. The comorbidity medical conditions of minorities, high blood pressure, lung disease, obesity, that leads to multifold increases in hospitalizations and death are because of, quote, the undeniable effects of racism in our society. That is woke theology. The emphasis is not on you are responsible for your health decisions, but the emphasis is that your health problems are due to the racism of others. So even COVID-19 is related to racism. And these people are serious. This is the classic example of how the false teaching of wokeism blinds and clouds your thinking. Here's a train of reasoning. First, there's racism. Racism causes poverty for blacks. Poverty also causes a lack of education, and this also causes a poor diet. But does it? I've gone food shopping. Good food in proper amounts costs the same as bad food in large quantity. Well, these poor dietary choices cause comorbidity issues with COVID, so death by COVID is caused by racism. This is the classic fallacy of hasty generalization, making a single connection or giving a single reason when there are multiple factors involved. So here's the problem. Along each of these steps, there are moral choices that the individual has to make that result in whether his persecutions from the world, from the flesh, or the devil will become a liability or an asset. Like Joseph, enslaved in Egypt, he was persecuted, but then he had to decide whether he was going to be a victim or he was going to be a victor. Joseph understood that his sale into slavery was meant for evil, but he also knew that God meant it for good. Genesis chapter 50, verse 20. Therefore, he could use his lemons to make lemonade. The evil done against him actually could help him if he had the right attitude. Joseph didn't need to be trapped in a cycle of bad consequences. He could choose to do what's right. As Paul writes in Philippians chapter 1, my imprisonment has fallen out for the greater progress of the gospel. So this ideology of blaming all of your bad choices in life on your environment or blaming it on racism is very unbiblical. It's ungodly reasoning. It's the wisdom that's from below. It's satanic, but it's a dogma of wokeism. Also, if you check out the most recent statistics, as a percentage of the population, the number of blacks or minorities who have died from COVID is pretty much equal to the whites. But the racist narrative is so ingrained in people's minds that thousands of articles have been written conjecturing without fact that minorities are more affected by COVID. And these unsubstantiated claims are being touted by others, even Fauci, as being proven science. Well, one thing we know about religion, especially false religion, people interpret the reality through their religion. And if you follow the religion of wokeism, you will see everything through the eyes of wokeism. You know, years ago, the attitude in our country used to be that those who are educated, those who build, those who invent, those who start businesses are good for people groups and families who are in lower economic strata. I mean, if you live in a third world country, you want to move to where successful people have built infrastructure because they will lift you up. And that belief wasn't really directly taught in our society. It was assumed. It was just part of the Christian worldview. But now wokeism is teaching that the existence of successful people, the existence of the good, is what is pulling you down. That these successful people are not to be our examples, that they are not to be our helpers. They are actually our oppressors. They are the reason for all the social problems. But that view is not only debilitating, it is demonic bitterness and ingratitude. But here is the greater personal spiritual lesson Christians need to learn here. We also need to be very careful not to blame others for our own sin. Because if we do that, we cut ourselves off from God's salvation. Blaming others for our sin cuts us off from genuine repentance. And without genuine repentance, there can be no salvation or sanctification, and there's no growth. Blaming others is a defense mechanism to cover sin. As in Proverbs chapter 28, he who covers his sin will not prosper. In the Psalms, King David's transgressions were forgiven because he took personal responsibility for his sin. In the penitent Psalm, Psalm 32:5, I acknowledge my sin to you and my iniquity I didn't hide. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. And Psalm 38:18, for I confess my iniquity, and I am full of anxiety because of my sin. And the other penitent psalm, Psalm 51, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, and you only I have sinned, and I've done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak, and blameless when you judge." David didn't blame the Hittites. He didn't blame Bathsheba. He didn't blame his other wives. He didn't blame the culture. He confessed that it was his fault. He failed to obey the law of God and to do what is right because of his own moral choice. But if we continue to live in rebellion to God, that is something we just cannot accept. It can't be me. And the false religion of wokeism is all about, it can't be me. I am not the sinner. It reminds us of the Pharisee and the tax collector in Luke chapter 18. And Jesus spoke this parable to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed other people with contempt. That is a very subtle, deceptive sin. Because you're imagining that you're righteous, that you're better than others, when you should be beating your own breast saying, "God, be merciful to me, the sinner." Wokeism is a secular form of Pharisaical self-righteous religion. I have a book on my shelf written by an old country evangelist who founded a Christian college. It's called Things I Have Learned. And he tells a story in the book that I've never forgotten. His aphorism was this: "No doubt the trouble is with you." And he's speaking to college students, quote, "Young people, don't start out in life blaming anybody but yourself. Learn to take responsibility. When you fail, don't blame the teacher. Don't blame conditions, don't blame circumstances, don't make alibis. Start out in life always taking responsibility. You're a Christian, aren't you? You have God to help you, haven't you? You have omnipotence back of you, don't you? You are trusting God, aren't you? Well, isn't God Almighty greater than any difficulty in life?" A fellow came into my office one time and asked me for financial backing. His shoes were cracked across the top. His heels were worn down. His fingernails were dirty. He had a history of sorrows. The whole universe had been organized against him, and he was against everything. This fellow, to hear him tell it, had been mistreated all of his life. His mother was mean to him. His old daddy, who was dead and gone, had treated him bad. His grandmother was a reprobate. His maternal and paternal ancestors had cursed him before he was born. The Republican Party had ruined him. And the Democrats had cursed him and spit on him. Prohibition had ruined the country and him too. I sat there and thought how pitiful it was that the poor, miserable failure would blame everyone in the world when there was nobody to blame but himself. Unquote. And in thinking about people like this, such people are ripe to be taken in by the philosophy of communism. You know, because communism is an ideology that affirms their feelings of bitterness and jealousy and greed, and it affirms their excuses for failure. Well, this old preacher went on to write, "There is nobody but you to blame for your failure. Let that sink in. One time a girl at the college came to me and said, 'One of my teachers has it in for me.' Why, I said, 'You're not that important. You have to be somebody before people get it in for you. Of course, the devil has it in for you, but God is on your side, and God Almighty can make even the wrath of men to praise him. He can hitch human hatred to your chariot and pull you through all the mud of difficulty. Quit blaming anyone but yourself. You'll be a failure if you pass the buck to someone else." Unquote, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. So God can hitch human hatred to your chariot and pull you through all the mud of difficulty. That's a great picture. And we have to understand that evils done against us, God can use as our stepping stones. So those are great words from a Christian worldview. But of course, wokeism is now claiming that that is the racist logic of white people. That is the reasoning created by the powerful to oppress the weak. And the woke will even claim that the Bible itself and these biblical values have been made up by the religious elites to oppress the weak. And that's exactly the same teaching of Karl Marx, who taught that religion was the opium of the people so that the elites could keep the common people working for them. Now, someone might say, wait a minute, can't we be persecuted by others? Is there never any fault or guilt upon the persecutors? You know, as in the case of Joseph's brothers or Potiphar's wife or Christ's persecutors, or as Paul wrote about Alexander the coppersmith, he caused me much harm, 2 Timothy 4:14. Well, of course, we recognize the sin of others. And we recognize that the sins of others are harmful. But we also have a proper biblical understanding of how the sins of others are limited. Yes, people sin against us, but if we do what's right, their persecutions will be turned into a positive benefit for us. In ancient Israel, the Israelites were always attacked by foreign enemies. But the emphasis in the prophetic writings was not that Israel's problem was an Egyptian problem, or a Philistine problem, or an Assyrian problem, or a Babylonian problem. That's how the false prophets would define it. The true prophets always brought it back to, this is Israel's sin problem. If Israel would do what's right, the persecutions of their persecutors would be eviscerated. So at this point, someone might say, well, that's victim shaming. That's blaming the victim, like Job's counselors. You're blaming Israel for all of her persecutors. No, the sin of the persecutors is recognized, but the solution is to focus on one's walk with God, because there is a God of providence. Persecutors cannot hold us back, and God will turn it around for our good. So what are we to do when we're persecuted? Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. The same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. We're to leap for joy when we're persecuted because we know that this will mean God's blessing for us. And how are we to treat our enemies? Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. But do you see how the unsaved mind and the flesh naturally refuses to think this way? It takes the Word of God and the Spirit of God for us to view the world in the proper fashion. Here's a final thought. Last week was my wedding anniversary, and I bought my wife some jewelry, and Ali Stuckey's book, You're Not Enough, But That's Okay. My wife likes these women books. It's the only one I could think of. Ali Stuckey does a political podcast called Reliable on Blaze TV, which is Glenn Beck's organization. And I've watched her program a few times. She seems to be pretty solid. So I thought, you know, before giving this book to my wife to read, I should read it myself. Maybe I could learn something. But it wasn't about political commentary. It was all about her own battle with self-centeredness and self-love. And it occurred to me that what makes for righteous, discerning political commentary is that the commentator has first had an encounter with God and has wrestled with his own deceits of the flesh. He or she understands the nature of sin in himself or herself, so he or she can see the game that's being played in society. Ali Stuckey wrestled with her own sin, her own excuse-making, her own spiritual blindness. So she knows through personal introspection and through the Word of God the game that everyone plays. And that's a prerequisite for being able to understand and make commentary on the culture. First, get the beam out of your own eye. Then you'll see clearly to get the speck out of the eyes of others. So in conclusion, how will this war end? Well, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ and his truth will be victorious. But as I've been saying for quite some time, don't be surprised that in the short term, in the plan of God, God allows the left to take over the institutions and the governments. In the grassroots, I believe the church will grow and thrive. You know, the powers of darkness will be pushed back, you know, among the common people. But the elites and Satan's ideologues may be given the control of institutional power so that they will have their fling, so that their sin will be exposed and judged, and so that God's people will be tested and taught through their apostasy. But God's people will be blessed and rewarded even through coming persecution. So fight the good fight of faith. Stand for the truth. Thank you for listening today. Subscribe, share, like, leave a comment below. And may Jesus Christ reign.